All right, everyone, welcome in. This is yet another edition of Inside City Limits. Happy belated Easter out there to all of my religious people. We missed a different type of holiday. The Pope died. City played some soccer. We didn't see any goals, but we saw, I think for the most part, an improvement. I didn't feel as strongly in that category, but we'll talk about it later. I guess the first thing, fellas, that we can start with is actually before the match, we got the starting lineup, and there was no Henry Kessler, no King Kess in the back line. He actually picked up an injury in training on Friday and was ruled out prior to kickoff. Grade 2 hammy. We're just cursed with hamstring injuries. He's expected to miss the next month or so, was the quote that I saw.
Do we need to get new, like a new playing surface on the training facility here? Because these injuries, especially the hamstrings, are just piling up. And why are they all coming and training the Friday before matches? What's going on?
We'll be seeing Kessler in August, right? A month or so.
Or so, yeah.
Isn't that what they said about Klaus?
I think they're just looking for someone to blame. But I saw people on X or Twitter, whatever you call it, saying that it should be on, like, training staff and the medical team. And I don't know how credible that is, but there's injuries all over the league, but obviously you're not checking each team's availability each day. Ours feel like it's just a constant flow of somebody being out.
I wouldn't put it on the training staff, but I think it honestly is just bad luck. It just seems to be piling up. And this happened last year. These injuries just kept piling up, and we're like, well, you know, kind of a wash of season. Like, let's just go into next year, get everybody healthy with this lineup. We saw the last 10 games of last year when people were coming back healthy. It looked great. And then here we are again, just injury list. Basically, it's the everybody on the roster, and they're all supposedly due back April, and it keeps getting pushed back, and there's just no end in sight.
I also saw Taylor Twellman on X, who responded to a City fan, and he was asking about, he said, I thought Fridays were walkthroughs. How are we having so many Friday training? And Twellman said, they train 11v11 a lot from what the players have told me. Are they doing a full scrimmage on Friday before the games on Saturday?
That seems tough, because then you're basically playing back-to-back days if you're going hard doing 11v11. I mean, I'm sure it's not 100%, of course, but, like, really, the day before the game, we're going to do 11? Like, I get it. After the game, you want, you know, Monday, Tuesday, like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, kind of relax and stuff like that. But Friday before the game, going all out 11v11 seems like, I mean, no wonder these guys are getting knocks in practices.
That's two injuries, two major players on our team the day before a game. Whatever they're doing on Fridays, they need to change. That can't continue to happen.
I will say, I'm not sure by the wording if that meant they train 11v11 a lot in general, or if that's like Friday specifically. But the original tweet did say, how are we having guys hurt on a Friday train? And that's what he responded with. So I don't know. I can't really tell from that quote. But if so, that's got to change, like Mike said.
Yeah, I mean, whatever it is, they need to do something different. I'm tired of seeing the lineup and going, I mean, I even texted you guys. I was like, hey, guys, where's Kessler? He's not on the bench. He's not on the lineup. What's going on with him? It's the second time that not only did it happen the Friday before a game, we didn't hear about it until they announced the lineups.
We're never going to get the lineup game correct if we keep injuring all of our good players on Friday or in training on Friday.
And that was my other thing. I guess it happened Friday in training, but why is he not on the availability report then? Why do we have to find out an hour before kickoff?
I mean, I'm sure they're trying their best to get him ready for kickoff, so they're holding out hope that maybe they'll be ready. I understand it more for Kessler, but I mean, if Berkey broke his hand, you know, like, I think you know he's not going to be going.
Yeah. And I will say, Like, I saw some people saying, including my BFF, Matt Baker, that I don't think City necessarily needs to explain themselves. Like, if you see Kessler's not in the lineup or on the bench, I think that you can assume that something happened. I don't think they're keeping him especially out of the lineup randomly. So it's that weird line of, like, obviously he's out, but we don't know why. And if we had some context beforehand, you know, we could kind of prepare a little better. I don't know. I thought the defense held up well without him, which was very surprising against one of the best teams in the league.
I'm not Sherlock Holmes. You expect me to just figure everything? This is the only sports thing in the world that doesn't tell you someone's injured right as soon as it happens. I mean, think about the coverage in the NBA and stuff. You know ASAP on that, but use my context clues. Just tell me.
I'm not Sherlock Holmes.
Come on. Read the between the lines on every St. Louis City tweet. Oh, is Hebert hurt now? I don't know.
You just got to start going to practice. You got to watch the practices. You got to watch training to
watch
know
the
this stuff.
The matches they hold on Friday.
Yeah, for real, they must be. What are they doing? Full contact. Kessler was out, but I think Bumgarner sliding into that center back role, I think he played pretty well. Like we said earlier, like, defense as a whole played very good, keeping Brian White under control. You know, he's literally had 4 goals last game, and he really didn't get too many chances this game. A lot of their attackers, you know, especially out wide, they have so much speed and good one-on-one play, but I think all 3 of our center backs played well, and the wing backs didn't do too bad either.
I called it. You go back to last episode. Our defense responds the week after they play bad.
Hey, Jack, speaking of Brian White, do you think that he is the most informed striker in the MLS right now?
Dude, they said that probably about 10 times during the I know you were at the game. I don't know if – I know Trent and Mike really like to listen to the local announcers instead.
Yeah.
But, dude, every single time it was Brian White, the most informed. At one point, they called him the most informed striker in the world. And I was crazy. Like, all right, you might be stretching a little thin there. But, I was, you know, they got to think of a different way to talk about him without talking about being the best informed striker.
Now you know why me and Trevor like to listen to the local broadcast.
For real. Jack, what's your thoughts on the – I think it was the 8th minute or the 9th minute, Hebert getting that ball in the box and trying to turn in the box and get a goal there. What are your thoughts? He actually almost made that move work out. What would you have done if Hebert makes that turn and just slots it away?
Oh, I let you guys know that I would be unbearable the next podcast if Kyle Hebert scored a goal.
I think he texted that right after he got that ball in the box. I think he texted in our group and said, yeah, I'd be unbearable. I'm like, yeah.
I mean, it would be a 50-minute glazing episode of Kyle Hebert.
So pretty much every episode, anyway.
I was going to say, that's just what you normally do.
Well, you know, when he's been, and I'm going to say it, he's been the best player we've fielded the entire season so far. He's shown up game in, game out. He doesn't pick up any injuries. He's been outstanding, and he's been consistent.
It's getting hard to argue that. It really is getting hard to argue with what you're saying there.
I feel like you knew we were going to say Kessler.
He threw in the injury part at the end. Yeah, he did.
You guys are definitely going to bring up Kessler, because Kessler definitely has been our best player, but, you know, where was he at? You know what I mean?
It's like those hyper-specific, like, NFL stats where it's like he's the first running back under 28 from the Southeast region to run for over 200 yards. Like, they're really cherry picking each of the criterias. That's why he sprinkled in who has been injured, has been on the field.
And you know, like Trevor said, it's getting hard to argue against the point.
It is. He's been consistent. I have been slow to come around on the Kyle Hebert train, but he has been very consistent. I feel like last year he was very up and down. Like, he'd play well and you'd think he could be a starter, and then he'd just completely shit the bed. And I feel like this year he's really stepped up.
You know, those first 2 games, he was really bad on the ball. He didn't look comfortable on it. But I don't know if you how many times you guys saw yesterday. I think I saw three times he spun somebody around with the ball and kept possession. He was playing outstanding. Involved in the attack. He almost had a goal, you know. He was almost involved in a couple, so he played outstanding. Yet again, might I add. Ninth game in a row.
I'm pretty sure that he was the, besides Lunt, he was the highest rated player that we had on Saturday.
Yeah, for him not to be involved in the fan vote on the City app is crazy, and I demand to talk to the owner.
Criminal.
I demand to talk to the owner.
Speaking of almost scoring a goal, what do you guys think of the VAR overturn on the Hartel goal?
I was expecting you to put your tinfoil hat on.
Yeah.
Big MLS. Once again.
15-minute Trevor rant.
Once again, big MLS keeping City off the score sheet. I mean, a freaking great ball. Who was it that gave that Wallum. Long ball? It was, well, no, it, well, Wallum had the first ball. It was Morales had the great long ball down to Pompeo. Pompeo and Wallum hooking up again. This time it was off the foot of the defender. Wallum, fantastic ball, right on the feet of Hartel. Hartel slots it away. The in the rule book, I mean, yes, it's offsides. But, I mean, he's standing there. It's off the defender. I just think it was harsh.
I have three comments about the play, if you'll allow me to make them in succession.
Three comments?
Three comments.
Yeah, that's all right.
Comment one, how can Morales make that pass? Make jumping in the air, flicking his foot forward passes, but then when you ask him to make a 5-foot pass on the ground, it goes to the other team. I don't understand how he can, the difference in his ability to pass. Comment two, 110% goal. How can you call it a deliberate action but not a deliberate play? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that quote is where you lost me. That makes no sense. It's more confusing than the actual call.
Here, I'll read the whole quote. It says, this is from the PLO refs. This is their statement. It was after the game. They said, the defender in question made an instinctive stretch or reach for the ball, which resulted in limited control of the ball. While this was a deliberate action by the defender, this is not considered a deflection, or this is considered a deflection and not a deliberate play. That doesn't make any, it's a deliberate action, but not a deliberate play. That doesn't make any sense. I mean,
I just think
Vancouver touched the ball, and it went right to our guy. And then that's not fair. Like, it's just, it's crazy to me.
He's finishing the run. He's offsides. And then when Pompeo plays it in, by the time the defender kicks it, like, I have it pulled up, like, freeze frame here because big MLS causes me to go crazy.
Yeah, Trevor breaking down film.
He's onside. When that ball goes off the defender, though, he's onside. Like, yeah, he's coming back on. Ugh, I'm riled up.
My last comment is, what is Wong doing? He can't take two steps to the right and be onside. He's not even trying to be onside.
Yeah, but he's onside before the...
He's like, onside at the start, but...
No, I know that, but when...
I mean, the pass from Pompeo, he was offsides, which is why he was called offsides.
Yeah, but by the time the defender even... Before the defender even touches that ball, he is back onside by, like, 6 feet. But I get it. It's because he came back. I don't know. All I could think of
when Jack read that quote was when we want to give each other shit, and it says, while this was a deliberate action by the defender, by law, this is considered. Like, and then they go on to,
yeah,
like,
the by law puts it over the top.
By law, it's like, shut the fuck up, dude. The VAR was correct to recommend a review for offsides in the attacking phase of play. The referee was correct to accept the recommendation and disallow the goal. They're just like, yeah, our guys nailed it. We killed it.
I'm tired of hearing from the refs after the game. It's two games in a row. They've had to say something to us. I'm tired of it. Don't want to hear from them the rest of the season.
How about you just put the whistle in your pocket, pal? How about that? Let the boys play. It's a good goal.
I didn't know. Like, I'm pretty sure anybody can submit a question to, like, that refereeing organization. Like, I saw a tweet that said the person who submitted that question was, like, a dude that's always in the press box. So I think we need to just flood their inbox with hate until they finally come to their senses.
They don't read anything from St. Louis people. They hate St. Louis. Big MLS been trying to keep us down.
If you hear a slight crinkling in the background, that's the tinfoil hat just slowly slipping onto Trevor's head.
It's been on for 3 games, pal.
And nothing's changing.
And what really sucked was you really thought, I mean, it just kind of killed all the momentum and all the excitement. And they played great, I thought, the entire game. But the next, like, 10 minutes kind of looked a little flat from them after the goal got taken away.
Yeah, they didn't have a good chance probably till after that goal was disallowed, probably till the 43rd on Hartel's free kick that Klaus somehow didn't put in the back of the net.
I'll also say, I don't really like to pump up the other team. Vancouver's goalie was outstanding yesterday.
Yeah, he played lights out, dude.
I mean, in the team, I think we put 2 or 3 in. He played so good. He almost looked like Berkey out there.
This is... do we have any other, like, missed chances or anything that we want to talk about? Because I have a couple things that I want to bring up that are, like, more in general. They're not really tied to anything. So do we have anything else that we want to talk about, like, specifics? I know there was one down on our end where I think it was Betcher and somebody else. There was a ball in, and they, like, both dove and tried to, like, volley it, and it was so close. There's a couple chances that... Like you guys said, I mean, if the goalie wasn't on it, they probably would have found the back of the net. But when I'm not up at the fucking press box, like, writing notes, I haven't rewatched the game yet, so I can't really remember specifics.
I mean, I'm seeing here, like, I can't remember any huge chances missed in the second half, but Betcher comes on in the 72nd minute, does nothing, 5.2. At what point do we start changing the lineup and just not bringing, like, Simon Betcher in at all? Like, a 5-2 again, another one under 6. He hasn't done anything for 5 or 6 games. Pretty poor form.
We got no one to take his role.
I just play Klaus and Toyshirt the 90 at this point, but Klaus isn't really scoring either. More than Betcher, though. He definitely is creating more.
He takes out Leuven after 60 minutes. You think he's going to play Klaus and Toyshirt all 90?
I'm thinking a 60% Klaus in the 90th minute is better than 100% Simon Betcher at this point.
Yeah, I don't know right. What Klaus did to that ref, but that was a very harsh yellow. Both those 2 fouls that they called him for, that was a little weak.
Yeah, that ref sucked. I'm also souring on Betcher because when we were sitting, we were right by, like, where they warmed up the subs. And Lexi would not shut the fuck up about how hot she thought Simon Betcher was. And so I was like, well, now I have to side with Jack and say that he sucks. And then
Lexi
get
is
back.
Cole's wife.
Yeah, Lexi is the old ball and chain. Didn't even think about watching the game. Yeah. Okay, that's a joke. That's a joke. I hope she's not listening anyways. Who cares?
Somebody clip that. It's
canceled.
It's a bit. But she, like, wasn't even watching the game at one point. Was just watching them run back and forth and do all their stretches. That's it. I was holding out a little bit. I think he could maybe swing it back around. But now I'm Betcher out. # Betcher to Denmark. Get him
I mean,
out.
His attractiveness is the only thing he does for the team. What's the countdown?
I don't want to turn. We looked it up the other day.
The Betcher loan countdown.
Is it under 70 days now? I think it was like 73 last time or something.
No, it's 70 on the dot.
Ooh.
Gonna have to get that doomsday clock up and running.
They're gonna buy him. They're gonna have an option to buy him.
I honestly want them to now just to see Jack's reaction.
I've said all I could say about Simone Betcher.
I had a guy who said quite possibly the craziest line that I've ever heard in my life. I never thought that I would hear these two compared to each other. I think it might have been because he was kind of like talking shit or complaining to the ref, but I heard the guy behind me say that he thinks that Hartel has some Markanich in him. What could that possibly mean?
I kind of forgot about Markanich. I thought he was an all right player. He'd always like go 100% though into like every tackle and miss half of them. But
honestly, yeah, one of the best things about going to St. Louis sporting events is just hearing the people around you. You always get.
I was like, what could that possibly mean? The only thing I think about when I think of Markanich was how incredibly out of position he was at all times.
I honestly could not tell you one thing about Markanich. I don't even know if I could confidently tell you his first name. I think it's Anthony, but I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, you nailed it. I know he has a brother Markanich fan in the USL. Yeah, all right. But yeah, that was it. The other one, I was steaming mad leaving that game. I was pissing you guys off because I was being super negative in the group chat. But the thing that sent me over the edge was me and Lexi are walking back to the car, and there's a dad and a 5 or 6 year old, like a really young kid behind us. And the dad was like, "Oh, you know, how'd you feel about the game? Did you have fun or whatever?" And the kid literally went, "It was kind of boring." The guy said, "Oh yeah, they play boring football, huh?" And the kid goes, "Yeah." And that was the perfect description of that game, because I left just being so pissed off and so frustrated. You guys did kind of change. You guys did kind of change my opinion, though. The result against Vancouver is good. I'm just so tired of. I don't know. It's not just the scoring goals. Go ahead. I know what you're going to say. Go ahead.
I'm tired of people, and I'm going to, pardon my French here, bitching and moaning and complaining and crying. And then as soon as they do something good, well, that's not good enough either. They got a point. They held the best team in the MLS with the most informed striker in the world, I'm told.
In the world.
0 goals. And they honestly should have won. Big MLS wiped the goal from them.
Exactly.
But even just a draw at this point off of a 4-game losing streak against that team is a tremendous result.
Yeah,
you gotta give them something.
I was like, you know, honestly, even though it's 0-0, I think there's a lot of positives from this game. And Cole's like, "Oh, that the worst performance I've ever seen. This team's terrible." I'm just like,
so mad. I don't know why I was so mad, but
steaming. He was steaming mad.
Quite literally steaming mad. I don't know what it was.
Dude, are we talking like steam out the ears, like a train whistle?
His full body was radiating heat. He was so mad.
That kid said, "Yeah, football's boring," and Cole blew his head like a train whistle.
It said that City plays boring football, and while I agreed with him, I was hell yeah, that kid gets it, because I was just so fed up with 0 goals. I know we should have had 1 week, so it got taken away. So fed up with no fucking urgency offensively, with missed chances. They're fucking kicking the ball back and forth like they're at Engler Park instead of like building an attack. I don't know, dude. It's just so.
For those listening, Engler Park is a soccer park from where we are all from.
Shout out Engler Park, Farmington, Missouri.
Go
Knights.
I agree with you, because they do get aggressive offensively for like anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes a game. And it's so much fun to watch. I mean, just like you guys were saying before, they called the goal back unfairly, unjustly. Like, constant attacks, you know, they're looking good, they're getting forward, and then as soon as that goal gets wiped, it's just back to, I mean, remember, what was it, like the 60th, 70th minute, they had that free kick at halfway line, and they kick it all the way back to Lund. Like, what is that?
Also, Hartel had one really good one in that Klaus almost scored on, and then, like, was it a couple minutes later, he had another free kick. He just like puts a P roller to the left of the goal by like 20 feet, nowhere near anybody. But you're right. They'll have like 10 minutes of where they're attacking and they have the other team hemmed in. Then they'll sit back for the next 35 minutes and just not do anything. Like
I thought they played very aggressive defensively the entire game. I thought it was a complete flop in tactics that we had seen the first 8 games. That's why, you know, that might have been why I was so excited after the game, even though it was...
We're talking offensively.
Oh, okay.
When they're aggressive. They always play very aggressive defensively, and I enjoy that. It's just, what's the point of being very aggressive on defense, winning the ball back, just to pass it around and not forward?
I know that this isn't a smart thing to say, per se. I know that this would not work long term, but it's just been a lot of moments this year that I would rather them go balls to the wall and like really... I'm not even saying without the ball, but just like I would just much rather them go for it and maybe get caught on a counterattack and give something up than kick the ball around and wait for something to happen and then there's no movement and then we're just sitting there with our dick in our hands. Like, I just show something, not a penis, not the dick.
But I know you and you still would not be happy.
Honestly, that is probably true.
Honestly, building off of Cole's points from what I've seen, I think this team does amazing on the defending counterattacks. Like, I think we should be more open to that type of football.
I don't even need, like, a Parnell, G-Gen press or whatever. Like, I don't need them to be pressuring the ball without it. But when you get the ball, just, like, I don't know. I just feel like there's not a lot of... like direct runs. It's unless you're in transition. Like if they have the ball at their feet, I felt like last game there was a lot of standing around and like a lot of lulls in the game where I'm like, you know, we could, especially after that goal, we could maybe put some pressure on and build the crowd up and like get the momentum back on our side. And they just kind of didn't.
Get your hands out of your pockets. Just standing around. They always stand around, especially when they possess the ball. Nobody's moving.
Yeah, like, I've seen multiple times where, like, I don't know, I can't think of an example. Maybe I haven't seen multiple times. But I feel like a lot of the time I see wingers on the outside just standing there. And they'll, like, put their hand up like they're going to go make a, like, a through ball run behind the defender. And then the guy just stands there and nothing, I don't know. It's just so frustrating to watch. I don't need 4 goals a game. I think that was one of the texts that Jack sent when I was bitching, like, oh, what, they're going to score 4 goals and you wouldn't be happy. I just want some energy. That's all I want is some effort.
You're just lying to the listeners. You are. If they scored, if they had energy and scored no goals, you'd be complaining the same as you are right now.
It's our 5th clean sheet. We can win with scoring 1 goal a game.
That's what I'm saying.
You can't get that.
The defense coming into this season, I thought was going to be one of the worst in the league, and it's flipped completely, and we still can't win games. I guess the last
thing I think is really going to help. Tomlin was on the bench last night. I think if he comes back, that completely changes how much offense we can play. Gives us the. I mean, I don't know if it's just me, if I'm just making it up in my head, it feels like since Tomlin's out, we only play up the left side. Do you guys see that as well?
A little bit.
And we have success up the left side because of Celio and Wallace.
That's what I'm saying. But when you get Tomlin back up the right side, that opens up the entire right side as well.
Yeah.
I think Celio should never play a different side again. Always have them both on the left. Unless you put Wallum out wide. I don't know. I just feel like those two together are really fun to watch. But I don't like him as a wingback, so I don't know.
You should have heard them on the broadcast talking about Wallum's position. It's like they needed Sherlock Holmes to figure it out. Yeah, they talked about it for like 15 minutes. And then they finally decided that he's a... Hold on, I'm trying to remember the exact words. A wingback midfield striker.
You've been reading a lot lately, Mike? No.
Been cracking the books open? Or what?
No, I got a lot of Sherlock references today.
It's called a callback.
Yeah, that was a good callback. Oh my god. Another thing that I saw on X, Twitter, whatever you call it, was there's this guy who I think his username is Chat City Tactics. He always like dives into the data and the analytics, and it's really cool to see. But he did a poll about 3 hours ago, and it said if they could sign one person before the deadline this week, what position would you like it to be? Does anyone want to guess what the winning result is so far without cheating and looking?
Striker? I mean, if it wasn't striker, they're wrong. But I'm going to guess
it's central midfield.
Oh,
yeah,
I guess
what are we talking about? Well, sorry, I cut you off.
I'm going to give him a little something for that, Cole, because we are missing Leuven and Durkin.
But I just don't – like, how do you watch these games that we've been playing and not think, man, we need a striker or even an attacking midfielder?
They probably see Morales miss 5-foot passes 10 times a game and think, wow, this guy sucks.
I mean, dude, he's
over the middle of the field. I'm like, you guys might as well turn around and start running the other way. It's not going to our player. But then again, you know, when he's sitting there at our 18-yard box and Wallum's open at the opponent's 18-yard box, it's getting right to his feet every single time. I don't understand it.
Don't talk about baby Leuven that way. I thought he's played great. And yes, that's my nickname for him.
Interesting.
Morales is baby Leuven?
No, Leuven's baby Leuven. Yeah, Morales.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought you were calling Leuven your baby.
No.
Don't talk about my baby.
Morales is as close to Leuven as you can get in this squad. Baby Leuven's played very well.
Walmart Leuven.
Martel's played very well in the center mid since
great value, Leuven.
I really don't I don't understand the central mid either. I don't see how you can look at 4 goals in 9 games and say we need anything but someone to put the ball in the back.
We really need a central mid. And second place was wing back, which I can kind of understand because like Wallum being up would be sick.
Yeah, you see Watts play 5 games in a row.
Yeah, I can see that. But how is Stryker almost last? Like, that's crazy.
I just think it's because they're getting so close. They're so close. Like, you can feel it. They're right there. It's just all about that last kick. Something's going wrong.
We could have been down to one center back, but if it was Tim Parker, they wouldn't have said center back. It's just a fan favorite thing. Klaus needs to go. I said it.
This
is our last goal scorer.
Yeah, I mean, like, after this year, he's got to go. We got to get someone else.
Is his contract up at
I think he has one more year.
I think that I agree with you. I would rather move on from him a year early than he leaves at the end of his contract and then we don't get any sort of transfer money or anything for him. I think it's kind of like Bill up in New England.
He's got a club option for next year. It looks like
they're about to sign that. They'll take that. I wouldn't. Well, I don't even know. That might be too harsh. I think if you got Klaus up top in a duo with, like, I don't even have an example, but someone who was, like, insanely clinical at finishing and was just bearing chances, I think that he would be really, yeah, who left on a free. Like, I don't know why we didn't even look into that. Whatever. But I think it could work really well in, like, a build-up, like a holding striker, if that's what you want to call it. It's just nobody's putting the ball in the back of the net.
Josh Sargent.
And if we are putting the ball in the back of the net, big MLS is taking it away from us.
Dude, Josh Sargent was at a game last year, and I remember tweeting like, oh, Josh Sargent's here, and Lutz was in the suite with him. And everybody was replying to that like I was a fucking idiot for implying that that could maybe happen. And I was like,
I was losing my mind. I'm like, dude, what if this could happen? Because, you know, I feel like
he signed with whoever for this amount, and he calls it blah blah blah. And I was like, okay, well,
it's Norwich. He plays for Norwich.
If other teams are bringing in, which I don't know, I don't know.
How much did they sign him for? Could City afford that though?
No way.
How much did he sign for?
The highest transfer is like 900,000.
He scored 14 goals this year. He's not coming to the MLS anytime soon.
Let's see how much
his market value is listed at 15 mil. Yeah, we're not getting him anytime. Yeah, so maybe I wasn't all saying
that. He's going to sign to some like newly promoted Premier League team, I assume.
Leeds.
Birmingham or something like that. I don't know who's winning the championship right now.
Probably Birmingham.
Is that the team
that Tom... Are you happy with that one, Trevor?
Yes.
Yeah, it is Tom Brady's team. You happy with that one?
It was a TikTok. You guys watch TikToks? Jeez.
You guys ever heard of TikTok this app called TikTok?
It's this Chinese government app called TikTok. Where the Chinese government can spy on us. But basically...
Singaporean, right?
Basically, they're like, what's the worst accent for people in the UK? And she's like, probably Birmingham. And then every time anybody says Birmingham, I'm like, I gotta quote it. It's a vocal cue. So anyways, we can't get Sargent, even if we all pitch in like 10 bucks.
Yeah.
GoFundMe.
I didn't realize his value was that high. If all of us
picked in 10 bucks, we would still owe $15 million.
No, I'm saying all as in like the city of St. Louis.
If the entire city of St. Louis kicked in, yeah, but I don't think that's going to happen.
All right, I'll set up.
Most of the people that call themselves fans don't even like the team.
Cole.
That could be anybody that you're talking about. I don't know.
We're talking about Cole.
Anyways.
I don't even know what else to talk about this game specifically. I just really want someone to score more than once every 2 months. I want some energy offensively. I want some pace, some skill. I just feel like we get none of that. It is, if the fucking 7-year-old walking out of the stadium knows that it's boring, it might be boring.
And I also wanted to, I think we should go ahead and copyright the Turf Field Merchants because they didn't score a goal on us.
That is true.
I heard they were bad on the road. They didn't look good.
Only 2 wins down, 4 games on the road.
Man, it was a rough Saturday for St. Louis sports. That'll be the last thing I say about it.
The Cardinals lost 4 in a row. Blues lost. Big NHL.
Battlehawks.
Oh, yeah. Battlehawks lost. 2-2 now, the Battlehawks. Big game this Saturday.
Is any Battlehawks game a big game? Let's be honest.
Yeah, they only got like 2 home games left. They are hosting the UFL championship again, so hopefully they make it this year.
I will say I don't give a shit about the UFL, but if the Battlehawks are in the championship, I will be at the Dome.
I will too. The Battle Dome. We should have some city games at the Battle Dome.
They do have new turf.
There you go. Screw the brand new stadium we just built. All right, let's play in the Dome.
Let's move on.
All right.
No one wants to hear about it.
Yeah, no one wants to hear about it. The only other thing I had was our recap for the City Limits guessing game trademark. No points. We would have had a goal scorer correct prediction from, I think, both Trevor and Jack. Was that right?
Yeah, we
Got big MLS. Point. Big MLS keeping me and City off the score sheet. I can't believe it.
So 1-0 City win. So I was also robbed of point.
It's a real shame. I was kind of baking on a Brian White man of the match so I could get a point closer to Jack, but he didn't do a damn thing.
When do you record your Vancouver Whitecaps podcast?
I don't. I just think this team kind of sucks.
Yikes.
Before we sign off, everybody want to give one word to describe this game and the team moving forward?
Dog shit? Is that one? No.
Maybe 2 words.
Jack, you want to start us off with that?
Hopeful.
Trevor?
Fine.
Encouraging. Cole?
Nail in the coffin!
Cole might be practicing that if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all. Next game is Sunday against LAFC. They have one of the top 10 worst defenses.
Why do we keep getting Sunday night soccer? I'm not disappointed in it. It's just interesting that we've had so many Sunday games.
Yeah. We'll be talking about that Friday. So we'll see you guys next for the LAFC preview. We got a pretty tight schedule coming up, so we'll see how things look. Got a cup game coming up. What was it? 4 games in the next 2 weeks? Is that what it was?
Yeah, we'll have a cup game. Gosh, I think it's just a midweek. Don't we have a midweek match?
Kate versus the other team in the state.
We have Seattle on. Oh, no, this is, yeah, on May 3rd, we have Seattle. Then on the 7th, we have the cup game against Omaha. On the 10th, we play San Diego. 14th, we play the team who shall not be named. And then on the 17th, we play Minnesota.
I mean, the good thing is 3 of those are home games, so not a lot of travel involved. The bad thing is that's still 3 games in a week.
And half our team is injured.
I assume we'll have a good handful of them back by then, as long as no other people join the injury list.
Yeah. Yeah, right, pal.
Late April, we should be getting half our team back, right?
Yeah, but now we're losing another injured half. Again.
Yeah.
We're like cycling.
Be fun. It's fun stuff. We're all having fun here at Inside City Limits. I think that'll probably wrap us up for today, for this week. With all those games, you'll get a lot more city coverage from us here and on Twitter at ICLPod at C Sutton City. We will talk to you guys this weekend, maybe next week, for our preview and recaps. And until then, let's go City.